In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Radio show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, to hear the lamentation of the women.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcasting, as always, on comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am your Chris Owen stand-in, Marty Berthelmer, producer of the upcoming Night of the Living Dead Live to take stages in Toronto this spring.
Excellent. And this week, we are your new and improved. Did I read that wrong?
I don't know what you are, but I don't think I want to be any part of what you are.
Right.
Either way, whatever we are, we're redefining your comic culture radio show.
Indeed we are. Marty, great to have you here.
Great to be here again, Walt.
Listen, I appreciate I know I texted you about 40 minutes ago saying, Marty, I forgot Chris is on vacation.
I know. I'm still in my jammies. Can they tell that?
No, they can't see those. No, you didn't have to say it.
Okay.
Yeah, and I appreciate you being here on short notice. And I think you and I are going to do a bang-up job.
I think Chris will be very excited to come back and find the show that we've left in his wake.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be enough for Chris if CFMU still wants us after this week. So this is our goal.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Absolutely. Just to get what the next week. That's
yeah,
all you need
get to get. To get to next week.
Yeah.
All right, Marty. You've been here a few times with the show. You know what we like to do. We like to tackle new this week.
From what I've understood, we like to rip on you for when you tell bad jokes, for when you don't know your facts.
Okay, and, yeah, you're right.
Oh, well, I'm trying to fill in Chris's position. I did a little bit of homework
right.
in the drive
okay,
here.
Okay, well, yeah. Listen, yeah. Chris's shoes are big shoes to fill.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure you're going to do great. I have to introduce the New This Week segment. I know you're trying to stall it. and New This Week is brought to you by the Toronto Comic Con, Marty.
Mm.
March 9th and 10th. Not this weekend coming.
No.
But the weekend after.
Where should I be that weekend?
At the Metro Toronto Convention Center.
Oh.
In downtown Toronto for the Toronto Comic Con. And if you go there, the absolute best booth there will be the Big B Comics booth.
Why is that, Walt?
Because I'll be there.
Oh!
Hey! Okay. So come say hi. I believe you've promised, you might have forgotten, but you've promised to help me out that weekend, so...
Well, you know what? As chance should have it, I'm going to be there for my own affairs that weekend. We're actually going to be doing a little, I guess...
Promotion?
Yeah, let's say it's an informative little walk around. We're going to be talking to some people. There are a lot of celebrities there. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if you checked the panel.
Yep.
We're going to be talking to a couple of them who are kind of our contacts for
yes.
some of the play upcoming.
Uh-huh.
We don't actually have a venue or a booth like yourself because we're not actually selling anything. We're
right.
just kind of there promoting
yeah.
and stuff. So we'll be handing
out
a lot of...
You can leave your bags at my booth if you
Oh,
need
see?
To.
And that's why we love you, Walt.
Right.
One of the few reasons we love you.
One of the few. All right, well, that's great news. So the Toronto Comic Con is coming, and we would love to see you there. All right, Marty.
Yes.
So, you know, here's the problem.
Here's the problem.
This is a problem. This kind of might be a problem, might not. Chris knows stuff about comics.
So the problem is Chris isn't here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know less.
Uh-huh.
And you know even less.
I know considerably less
yeah,
than you.
So
yeah.
we're gonna fake that we really know everything about the New This Week comics and see how we do.
If I've done anything good in my life, it's been conniving my way right to the top.
Right.
So I'll convince anyone that I'll know something.
Okay. Excuse me. Let's talk about first from DC Comics. Teen Titans number 17 hits the stands today at your local comic book shop. Now, I haven't read Teen Titans.
No, why would you?
I
where
know.
Do you work again?
That's not the point. I'm not a teen.
Okay.
I guess.
but you're a Titan.
Yeah, I am a Titan. But listen, it's in the wake of Death in the Family, and apparently the Death in the Family thing is huge.
Right. Whose family? Like the mob family?
No, there is a... Remember? Now, this is something I do remember. Way back in the day in the 80s, they killed Robin off in A Death in the Family.
Right.
This is a death of the family. It's like a big Joker storyline running through a lot of Batman titles and Batman-related titles. Okay? Mm-hmm. So this story picks up, I guess, the pieces in the wake of the death of the family storyline. Now, I don't want to give away any spoilers, so
no.
People will have to pick it up off the shelves and check out what's going on.
So we're really not going to talk about a single thing other than the title that's stuck on this comic book.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I feel like we should do a little due diligence. Can we even describe what's on the cover
of
the comic book?
Who drew it and who wrote it?
Well, why don't you actually go into that? Because I'm sure that you even know some of these people firsthand. You're best friends with some of these chums.
Yeah. Well, listen, the art, like as Chris Owen would say, oh, you know, I love this guy.
Has he ever not loved a piece of art?
I know,
like,
hey,
in
he's
a comic
awesome.
Book?
Yeah. a guy named Lobdell wrote it, and a guy named Nikiza drew it.
Can you see now why I didn't want to go?
Listen, A Journey into Darkness, Teen Titans number 17 from DC Comics, hitting your local stands today at your local comic book shop.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's go. Now, hey, from Marvel. Now, I know you. I've talked to you before about comics. Mm-hmm. You are a Deadpool fan.
Somewhat. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And Deadpool number 2, Deadpool Killustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2,
mm-hmm.
Hit your local comic book shop stands today. And The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. Now, these are plays, the covers are plays on the old
right.
Classics Illustrated.
Those are from like the 50s or somewhere 50s, in there.
60s,
yeah, okay.
40s, 50s, and 60s. And now, like, those are like a staid and you know, kind of old-fashioned ma-pa, apple pie mm-hmm. kind of comic covers. And it's odd that they would get like the goofiest kind of hero going right now in Marvel, the kind of guy out in left field, and put him on staid covers.
No, I think that makes the most sense because that's the most, you know, contrasting, right?
I guess you're right.
You have Superman in there and just kind of, well, I think they're just yeah. ripping it off. I don't know what they're really doing, but he wouldn't insult them. You know, Superman's a stand-up guy.
Mm.
Deadpool, you see exactly what the image is. I think it's some sort of tribute to Tom Sawyer there.
Yeah.
And Deadpool's repaying old Sawyer there with a bazooka in the face, you know, on
yeah,
the cover.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
See, so you can't be any more contrasting than that. That's a pal right in the kisser
wow.
sort of approach, right?
All right, listen.
And I was just going to say, I'm actually going
to
talk about this book
yes.
because apparently I'm a Deadpool fan. I didn't know it until now, but so apparently I'm a Deadpool fan, and I actually like what this comic book does a little bit because as the Deadpool fan I am, only he could get away with being thrown back in time, having stories with pirates and then clashing with different heroes and villains from different titles. Every other page, he's already just killed 1,000 bad guys, and then he's on to the next task, right? And then, oh, then there's, you know, maybe like a Green Goblin character who is actually in this. And then something happens there for a page and a half and no more than that, and he's on to the next villain. Only Deadpool could probably get away with such a quick transition and turnaround of what he's actually doing.
Now, let me ask you something. Is Deadpool, is it aimed at ADD kids?
Because they can't concentrate on one thing for more than 2 pages?
Exactly.
That may be the medicine. Right there may be
what
they're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you read through this and it's like, wait a minute. Slow mm-hmm. down. Stop. But where, you know, maybe ADD kids will go, oh, yeah, this is cool. This is perfect. Perfectly paced.
Or is it for older guys? You know, let's look at the older generation who then feel like they're speed readers. They've read 20 stories in one comic book.
Yeah, that's not
cool. And
they
feel...
Let's not go there.
No, let's not go
there. Old guys are traditionalists. Mm-hmm. They like their comics traditional.
That's why you got the Classic Illustrated ambiance there. That's why you got the homage.
Right. Yeah, I guess they're trying to get both wallets.
Marvel's playing on so many levels right now.
It's
unbelievable.
Yeah, they're trying to get many levels of wallet. That's
mm-hmm.
what they're trying to do.
It's like an onion with layers.
Yes.
Right? You peel one back.
Marty, Deadpool Killustrated, number 2. At the new this week stands at your local comic book shop. Check that out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, we picked This Is Cool.
This one I want to check out.
Yeah. Vampirella New Blood one-shot from Dynamite. What is it? Dynamite Comics? Dynamite Entertainment? Now, heavy, heavy-duty TNA cover.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, let's describe the cover to me visually.
Well, she's... Well, yeah, TNA cover. Now, the thing, when I saw this come out this week, I'm a bit of an old-timer, Marty, and I remember, now I don't remember back to the old Vampirella magazine days, because that was late 60s, early 70s. I caught the tail end of them in the mid-70s.
That was
I
a little bit of like the culture-creating sort of period for all that, the vampires.
Well, yeah, well, Vampirella was a cool concept when she came out, right? Because by the 60s, I could be wrong here, but by the 60s, you know, your Dracula was your standard classic bread-and-butter vampire.
Right. Right.
And Vampirella was kind of a new take on the vampire lore. Would that be a right
Because
word?
I guess around that time in culture, you got a little bit more sex appeal. Like that was actually allowed. Yeah. Rock and roll music and everything.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they were pushing boundaries and stuff like that. So Vampirella, that was her time. Right? But now Vampirella seems kind of dated and staid. And then when I saw this kind of new blood and kind of that Twilight-looking other character and stuff like that, I'm thinking, wow, you know, now Vampirella is old, and she's got to latch on to these kind of new teenage-type vampires with long hair and stuff like that and just to kind of stay relevant. It's kind of sad in a way for me being an old Vampirella fan.
But vampires are immortal, Walt. I don't know if you realize that, so... They transition well through the ages.
Well, yeah, but to sell comics, they got to latch on to the modern vampires, because the old vampires, Vampirella by herself, just was kind of, I don't know, selling a few comics here and there. But it seems like they got to get her involved in the, you know, the Buffy and the Twilight type of bring her up to date, I guess, a little bit. I don't know if she fits. You know, I haven't read this book, obviously.
I don't know
if she's going to fit.
I was going to say, can I actually talk about a little bit of the book? Because I've actually... read a little bit of it, as opposed to you. So what this actually is, to anyone out there who's kind of in modern-day vampire zone, it's either Twilight or it's all, like, True Blood. And this is actually New Blood. It's taken off of True Blood. And I think what they're actually doing is they're throwing Vampirella right into the True Blood world. So they're at Merlot's Diner, and I think it's just – it's her – it's only a one-shot, so the story isn't going to go over multiple comics. They try and make it its own little standalone thing. But it's got every big character from True Blood kind of interwoven into one story. And so they have all their characters kind of come out in their most exaggerated forms. And then it's... I don't know if they're just playing on, you know, the fact that it's Vampirella and True Blood is a big thing. But that's where they're going with it. And other than that, she's wearing almost no clothing, so
which is always a good selling ploy.
It's two winning points. You got True Blood, and you've got no clothing.
Two winning points.
On.
Yeah, you're right.
So there you go.
You're right. All right. But my, you know, I'm rooting for her. I hope she fits in. I hope she makes the adjustment.
Right.
Yeah. And I hope they accept her for what she is. All right. A Vampirella New Blood one shot from Dynamite at your local comic book shop today. Marty, what else we got?
Well,
you picked this one.
Next up, well, absolutely. I picked the, I guess I picked the last one a little bit too, because I actually read a little bit of it.
Right.
But this one is kind of, this was the bread and butter right here. So we're looking at Army of Darkness number 11. And it's kind of, well, as I already stated, and as you always introduce me, as producing Night of the Living Dead Live, which is, you know, the old George Romero cult classic film.
Yep.
Other than that, there are a few titles that have that cult classic sort of vibe and feel, and everyone kind of knows and associates with, and the whole Army of Darkness Evil Dead is one of those properties.
And so that came out after Night of the
Living Dead. That was, you know, you're looking in the 80s and stuff. Yeah, Bruce Campbell, right?
Yeah.
And I kind of picked up on this book because of the remake of Evil Dead, which is even more horrifying and gorifying than the original ones actually were.
Right.
So... I kind of related to that, so that's why I kind of chose this.
Fair enough.
Because it's very relevant to the times. Even though this is number 11, this film is, you know, kind of coming out very shortly, I believe. I believe it's not actually out just yet.
Yeah, it's not out yet. I think it's coming out in March.
Yeah, we're looking at about March. It's like a spring release. Anyway, so this is very relevant and topical. And so,
well, Marty, the great thing about comics is if you've been a regular listener to the show at all, which I know you have.
Always.
Comic books are a great way to keep a property alive. You know, movies get all the glory, you know, even video games and stuff like that. But, you know, between Clone Wars and Revenge of the Jedi or whatever, there was a decade and a half of comic books keeping the Star Wars torch alive, right?
Right.
Same thing with Star Trek. Same thing, even Army of Darkness, right?
Right.
You're talking about years between productions of some of this
stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes
and the comics is a nice monthly.
I do agree. Sometimes it's not even about it becoming its own, million-dollar maker for the producers and whoever owns the rights. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just about keeping the pilot light lit, right?
Exactly.
And just keeping
right.
the flame going
exactly
until the right. next big project, so enough people still consider it relevant.
Yeah, you keep the fans happy, the hardcore group happy anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Army of Darkness from Dynamite, number 11, at your local comic book shop today. And Marty, we're going to end it like we always end it, like Chris and I ended. I'm just kind of reminiscing about Chris. I'm looking at you here. You're sitting beside me. Yeah. I appreciate very much you here. And you have not yelled at me nowhere near half as much as Chris has up to this point. And I appreciate that.
I'm much more forgiving and I'm more than over the top in affability. Is that a word?
Affability? Yes, very much so.
In all contrast right. to Chris.
Hey, listen, talk to me about Bart Simpson number 80.
Okay, we're looking at a Bart Simpson comic. I don't know if... I mean, because I know that the children's book section is separate from the location for the regular books that you have out.
Yeah, right?
It's just it has its own section, ambiance feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not every adult actually comes by these Bart Simpson or Simpsons comic books.
Do you think Bart Simpson should also be in the, not like adult, but should also be in the adult
See,
section?
See, that's what I'm feeling. It does have a lot of the young adult appeal, right? And I mean, young adults are a big majority of even the people that are buying from the adult section. I mean, not to say
it's
like
a fair point.
Not yep. to say adult.
I understand, yeah, but like yeah. adult, like grown ups.
So
yeah.
I think in the past you've actually dabbled with putting a couple of the ones that kind of blend the gap a little bit on your New This Week shelves.
Yeah.
And then I think that you know better than me. But I thought you overhauled your kids section,
listen,
and then this is what.
We're here to talk. Mm-hmm. We're here to talk about local comic book shops. If a local
right.
comic book shop can get an ounce of insight from us, it's worth
mm-hmm.
it, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, do you take stuff like the Simpsons, Bart Simpson, and all that stuff, and do you split it? Futurama,
right?
You put it in your kids section, but then you also split it and put it in your New This Week section.
I think maybe you do. I mean, if you were to look at every Bart Simpson comic, I think I've never seen one that doesn't have Bart laying a trap of some kind for Homer, right?
Mm.
And you know what? For all of these comics, they deal with mob bosses and, Moe's Tavern and drinking beer and then
right
being
on.
Irresponsible
yep.
as an adult and everything. And then going through, like, the growing pains of Bart Simpson, throughout school. And, like, that everything is relevant in every other big published book right now that is on, it's just that it's in cartoon format, right?
Right.
I think that it definitely does relate to a lot of the people and what they're reading currently. And I think maybe you could try out putting it on the New This Week shelf.
Excellent. So, hey, listen, if you're a local comic shop, putting your Bart Simpsons in the kids section, try to float it over into the New This Week section. See what happens. All right, Marty, that is a wrap for our New This Week. Now, Nate, when you were a kid, I know when I was a kid, I used to go out and play ball hockey.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Remember that?
I still play ball hockey.
Okay,
still
but now I'm going
to
go
on,
out in the neighborhood and play ball hockey. Go out in the street.
Oh, street level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where we were growing up in East Hamilton, it was kind of not the richest part of town.
Mm-hmm.
And there would only be one kid that had a net.
Okay.
So we'd always want Ernie to play.
Right. Even though Ernie wasn't the best.
Ernie wasn't the best, but man, Ernie was like the best.
He was the best because he had you.
He had the net.
Yeah.
Right? But then the problem was when Ernie had to go home.
Oh, yeah. What do you do
then?
Because
when he goes home,
yep.
he takes his net.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're in a bit of that quandary right now. See, Chris isn't here. And Chris is the only guy that can spin music.
Mm-hmm.
So this show has no music.
He's the only
Chris
disc jockey?
His net.
Really?
Chris
oh,
is taking his net
no.
and went home. Yeah.
yeah.
So what we're going to do, I think, is have you and I do karaoke. I'll hum and then you sing over it.
Why am I? I'll hum. You can sing.
All right. Maybe we'll skip that altogether. Hey, listen, what we'll do is we'll take a 2-second break of silence.
Depending what the song is, if it's Gangnam Style, I'm in. Because I don't know the words anyway, so I'll just yell a bunch of gibberish and we're good.
I don't think that singer knew them either.
No. Well, it's a different language. Well,
listen. We'll just segue just smoothly into the next section. Like butter, which is, what's that thing called where we get letters?
Mailbag?
Yeah, mailbag.
That's good that I know your show better than you do.
Yeah. So this mailbag is addressed to you. Dear Marty.
Oh.
Because apparently we advertised that you're going to be on the show.
You may have. You didn't tell me.
But... Yeah. Dear Marty, I heard about your play in Toronto. I love zombies.
Mm.
Should I bring my girlfriend or my buddy?
Ooh. Now.
This is from Chad.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, is it like a girl and they're having
friend, this is from
Chad out?
In Burlington, Ontario.
I'm going to say 100% yes. Bring your lady friend because not only is it very...
So not his buddy. He's asking whether it's going to be a date or like a guy's night out.
Well,
What's it?
I already have the answer. You come on two separate occasions. You do
the
double header.
Look at you, you businessman, you.
We Friday and Saturdays have double headers, 7-Eleven. You come that one time with the buddies, and then you go late show with the lady, and then that's your romantic evening right there.
Wait a minute.
You don't want to do it the other way, where you have the evening with her at 7, and then you say, get lost while I stick around with my buddies, and we have some drinks at the bar, and we're good.
Or you go two separate nights.
Huh. Well,
yeah,
but it's just so convenient to roll into one night. But if you want to hide it from her, absolutely. Yeah.
I get it. Right on. That's great advice. I never saw that coming, Marty. That's good.
If you had to pick one over the other, though, it's tough. It depends on what friends you have. If you have friends who love the old niche, you know, cult classic horror stuff, go with them because they're really going to get it. But if your girlfriend is into that stuff, too, because a lot of girls are these days.
Right.
Every girl loves Walking Dead.
Yeah.
You know, if I had a nickel for every girl I knew who loved Walking Dead, Walt. Yeah,
you'd have a lot of money.
I'd have a lot of nickels anyway.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. So that's
I think
cool.
It's a toss-up on who your girlfriend is, what she likes, and how cool your bro friends are and, you know, what they like.
Hey, my kid plays with a hockey with a kid named Penny. Last name?
Oh, okay.
And he goes to him the other day, goes, hey, if you score 5 goals, I'm going to call you nickel.
Did he actually come up with that himself?
Yeah. Apparently, he told me that.
Boy's witty.
I thought it was witty.
Where does he get that from?
I have no idea.
Not
from me.
Yeah.
All right. So that's good advice. Not sure what the final verdict was again. What was the final verdict?
See it as many times as you can with as many people as you know.
Right.
How about that?
Bring your mom.
Oh, yeah. It's very family friendly and it's ageless. It's timeless.
Right.
The older crowd who used to remember the movie, they'll still enjoy the show. So.
All right. Chad, I hope that helps. From Burlington. And,
I don't think it helped one bit, really.
No, neither do I. And listen, just head out and enjoy that show. All right, we're going to segue again into... this is the meat of the show, Marty. This is the part of the show where Chris and I explore what's going out there, what's new, what's news, what's on the scene, what's happening in the world of pop culture. And Chris and I convey it with a slant towards the local comic book shop.
Always slanting that way.
Toward the local comic book shop. Because this show is here to support the local comic book shop.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, to underpin the pillar that CFMU-FM McMaster Radio is to the Hamilton community. And, of course, without our show, they wouldn't win all their awards.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, yeah. They owe every bit of gratitude towards
every humans. Bit yeah. of gratitude toward us. All right. So let's talk about... news came out. I guess every month they come out these figures from... bookstores like Barnes and Nobles and Chapters and all those kind of places.
Yep.
They chart graphic novel sales.
Okay, because that's becoming a big industry for them as well.
Yes.
Right.
And news in January was that Walking Dead apparently has softened its hold on the top 20.
Oh, so it's losing its grasp.
Yeah. It had 3 of the top 5. But only 5 in the top 20, whereas in December, it had 10 in the top 20.
Okay. I want to go into that just a little bit.
How's that?
Do you think that the Christmas sales and the gift-giving sales, people, I mean, Walking Dead is such a great gift item that you would ask for that as opposed to a regular graphic novel of, you know, Spider-Man?
I think you're right.
I think you're absolutely right.
I think you're right. First of all, the compendiums, which are those big-ass... collections.
Big ass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Volume 1 and Volume 2 are still on this list. They're actually number 2 and number 5.
Right. Very
and,
hot books.
Yeah. And Walking Dead Volume 1 is number 3. And the good news is Walking Dead Volume 17, which is the latest one,
right,
is at number 1.
Well, I mean, you know, the first volume can only be the highest seller for so long. Then everyone has it, and then they're just trying to keep up with what's coming out, right? I mean,
here's my thing, though, Marty. Yeah. Here's my thing. I like it and I don't like it. Okay, mm-hmm. I like it. I've always, excuse me, I've always thought the comic books and graphic novels not so much now. And this is this segment here is about this, but mm-hmm. Comic books and graphic novels has always been restricted. They've been confined. Their sales have not been optimized because of what I think, what I call distribution problems.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say the floppy monthly comic books.
Right.
They, generally speaking, are direct market books. You mm-hmm. can only go to your local comic book shop, really, to buy like a wide selection.
Right, you can't
of them.
Find those in Chapters.
Or anywhere. Yeah, you can find that little rack with a few of them in Chapters. Okay. And you know, you can find a few at the grocery store. But, you know, hundreds of titles you can only find at your local comic shop. Well, there's only like 2,500 local comic shops in North America. You mm-hmm. need like 25,000 outlets if you're going to get the good word out, mm-hmm. right? And what these Barnes and Nobles and Chapters and Borders is do mm-hmm. is they help the distribution. But because they're geared as bookstores
right.
and graphic novels are considered books, you know, ISBN numbers, you know,
right.
spine out and all that kind of stuff, they can fit on bookshelves. They're benefiting greatly from these booksellers considering them viable things to display on their shelves.
Mm-hmm.
So Walking Dead rules the roost at comic shops. Walking Dead rules the roost in graphic novels anyways at your local bookstores. You know, graphic novels are doing well because of their wider distribution potential.
Right.
I just wanted to throw that over. Comics, I guess, in a way, maybe need wider distribution for them to enjoy increased sales.
I feel like comics are much more limited because each issue is its own issue. It could be one of a six, you know, issue story arc or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it is like the little floppy, mm-hmm. you know, it's like a $3.99 comic book. If that month has gone on and you haven't sold every copy, you're probably not going to sell those ones next month. Whereas graphic novels, as you know, if you have 15 or 30 volumes of Amazing Spider-Man that are out for graphic novels, eventually people will come back and revisit and they'll say, well, I need, you know, volume number 5.
So
those will eventually go. Those are commodities that will actually sell well beyond when they're just released.
They have no shelf date.
Right.
You know, their shelf life is years.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're absolutely right. And I don't know. The problem I had with it, this part of the same argument, I don't know if you'll agree with this or not, mm-hmm. is, yeah, I like the data coming out of the bookstores, but I don't like what the data is showing. I would love the graphic novel sales. I would love the patrons of the bookstores, Chapters, Barnes, Nobles, and places like that, the people. I would love them to be more willing to explore new titles that hit those stores in terms of graphic novels. So yeah, you know, I don't want to see Walking Dead volume flipping one on a top 10. I don't want to see Watchmen, which was number 10.
Right.
I don't want to see Watchmen,
which has
on
been
list
on the
anymore.
Charts forever.
For,
right?
It's like Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
Right,
on
okay.
the charts for 800 months
right.
or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that. I think if we see kind of, you know, mm-hmm. whatever the comic industry is churning out in terms of graphic novels that month or that quarter,
mm-hmm.
I want to see a lot of those doing well at mm-hmm. bookstores.
You're right. It should be more like a top 40 list. I mean, songs are only hot for those first month or two,
yeah.
and then they start rotating down, and then
sure.
they're gone, right?
Yeah.
It's just like the box office for movies. I mean, Avengers may be, you know, someone's favorite movie,
yes.
right? Not saying, you know, yours or mine specifically, mine.
Right.
But you might not go see it 2 years after it's already been out in theaters still. You might choose something else. So it wouldn't, you know, be number one forever.
And I think you see that at local comic shops because the buyer base at local comic shops is very savvy, right? Like they are into this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the record market, the people that are into it, right?
Yeah.
So at your local comic shop, you're not going to see, Watchmen in the top 10 of any local comic shop's graphic novel list.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't, right? Because you're seeing stuff like Underwater Welder. You're seeing stuff that's coming out recently, you know, being in the top 10 there because the people heading into local comic shops are very willing to try the newest graphic novels, you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay, then. So
whereas the people that are walking into bookstores, I think, are coerced by, you know, stuff they see on TV, like, oh, Walking mm-hmm. Dead movie, like, sorry, the Walking Dead TV series. You know, right. They're kind of they're buying it because they, I don't know, they're buying it because of some external influence, as opposed to them being very aware of the market, I guess. Is what
okay. And so you just touched on it. What about in comic shops? How does this list sort of compare? I mean, is it more of a rotary in the
yeah,
in
comic shops compared to bookstores is much more of a rotary, but, which is a great thing.
But, I mean, that being said, Walking Dead owns so much of the bookstores. I mean, they probably still have a foothold somewhere in the list in comic book stores, too.
Oh,
though,
absolutely.
Right? Even
yeah.
the old
well,
ones.
Well, listen, all time. Mm-hmm. At our comic shops, all time, Walking Dead is our greatest selling graphic novel.
Like number one?
Number one.
Yeah, okay.
Of all time,
mm-hmm.
right? In terms of volume.
And I bet it still sells kind of almost in the top 10.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Okay.
But not, I guess not as
not
many.
To the point. Not
as many, like, yeah, Walking Dead Volume 1 is in here, but you won't see Watchmen Volume 1 on a new thing. You won't see Compendium
All the
volume
old ones
one.
Aren't so exaggerated and
right,
emphasized.
Right.
Per, okay.
All right. So let's move it along, Marty.
Yeah.
Hey. We were looking at this a little earlier.
What was I doing?
Well, we were looking at the we were actually considering throwing it into the news this week.
Mm-hmm.
But then we thought we'd talk about it in the industry news.
Oh, it's too much of a topic.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This is where DC has announced a major event in this week's release of Batman Incorporated number 8,
mm-hmm.
Where Damian, the 10-year-old son of Bruce Wayne and Talia al Ghul, the grandson. Oh, you know what? We can't say this, right?
Hey, remember?
This is a spoiler.
Remember when we had the Teen Titans book and then you said, hey, spoiler alert, we're not going to do anything?
Yeah.
But now when you're actually spoiling things and you don't alert that it's a spoiler?
Well, listen, this is a spoiler, so we're going to talk about a spoiler. But
okay.
People have probably read about this online because it's all over online.
Okay.
So if you don't want to hear this big new reveal, just don't listen for the next, I don't know, minute. And that is that the spoiler alert is that the kid dies. They kill the kid off.
Why?
Yeah. He's 10 years old. He's,
what did he do?
I don't know.
Like you put gum under his seat?
Well,
then...
this is the rage, Marty, that you kill things. In comics,
you kill things.
Yeah,
or
kids, or girls, or guys, or whatever. You kill heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is slain. He dies a hero's death in Batman Incorporated number 8. Now, okay, a couple things.
Yep.
One, he's a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a kid killed in comics. I don't want a kid killed anywhere. You know what I mean? That's a dumb thing to say. But number two is he's the son of Ra's al Ghul.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, the grandson of Ra's al
right,
Ghul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, how good a plot development in the future can you get for a future enemy
mm-hmm,
of Batman?
Mm-hmm. I know, you can really manipulate that. Or even for a positive side hero of some kind, like a recluse of something, you know, like a
yeah.
Punisher
Well, here
sort
you
of
got
thing,
your
or,
dad is
you know?
Batman, but your granddad is Ra's al
you're
Ghul.
You're torn and,
yeah.
Yeah
and,
you're
oh,
just...
my God, the potential of that kid growing up being a young man,
yeah.
not knowing what to do.
I mean...
The tug and the pull.
Sure, he'll have 10 years of, like, living in the sewers, struggling internally
yeah.
with mental issues.
Exactly.
But after that time... He'll have become someone. All that struggling and strife and poverty and sleeping with the rats.
Sleeping with the enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, wow, this is an opportunity lost. And when I read this, I go, this is an opportunity lost. You can't, this is like, remember the old Cold, you don't remember, the old Cold War? This is like a mole. This is like a mole deep inside the
KGB. The old Cold War? Was there a new one?
I don't know. Yeah, the show.
Okay.
Excuse me. I mean, there's a perfect plan. There's you know, tons and tons of great storytelling,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know.
Well, let me.
To me, they throw it all away.
Let me pose this to you then. They're not nincompoops at at a DC or a Marvel level of publishing, right?
Right.
Nor are the storytellers, right? Would they have maybe just done this as a super marketing hype for this issue then? Are they then maybe sacrificing a little bit of potential down the road of twisting and turning with a character to just get... Because, Walter, how many issues of something with this critical of news do you think are going to fly off the stands?
Yeah, but it's it never pays off the one-time gain.
No, you know? But I mean, maybe they want the one-time bubble.
I don't know. I don't think they do. I mean, this is... if you read on, it says... Batman Incorporated number 8, written by Grant Morrison, who was in the process of wrapping up a 6-year run chronicling the adventures of the Dark Knight detective. According to DC, the story will bring together everything Morrison has been building towards since the beginning of the series. What that tells me, Marty, is nobody's going to understand a flipping word of this.
Yeah.
You know, because Grant Morrison, I don't know the man. But I don't know whether he drops acid or something before he starts writing this stuff. But some of his stories, you haven't got a clue what's going on. Like, you haven't got a clue what's going on. And at the end, he tries to piece everything together. Mm-hmm. And what worries me is him trying to culminate and close 6 years, it might lead to some funky-ass thing that nobody gets.
You know, well, maybe it just requires a trip down to, like, the San Diego Comic-Con and proposing dropping a tab of acid with them and getting some insight right into what's going on in his mind.
Right, yeah. Bring my Cream album. And let's go, Grant, me and you. Anyway, Batman is the cat's meow at comic shops these days.
See, I'm just going to say, though, the culminating idea of the 6-year run, chronicling and then coming to an end, maybe it's going to go somewhere right after this issue. Maybe this issue shouldn't be such a punch in the face. How many characters have been resurrected before?
Exactly.
And that's, say no more.
That's
say no
the
more.
Only
right?
hope. So, I'm hoping against hope that the comic dead don't stay dead.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All right. Marty, let's move on to, oh, Marty, I know that you love this news.
Mm-hmm.
You're such a big fan.
Is it food?
No.
Oh.
But it's Mark Hamill.
Oh, okay. I thought you were bringing me food for being here, but no. Okay.
No. Listen, Mark Hamill apparently wants to be or is going to be or they're talking about him being in the new Star Wars movie.
They're in speaks, yes.
They're in speaks.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, who's the other one? Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher.
Mm-hmm. The Lucasfilm people, the Disney people, I guess, we're talking with them. Hamill's saying they haven't struck a deal yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what I found interesting is they told him that if they don't use them,
mm-hmm.
they won't write their old characters into the stories.
Could you imagine how much of a shot in the foot they would be giving themselves if they did that, though? I mean, I completely understand. You can't rewrite, you know, Luke Skywalker as someone like maybe, say, a dark, you know, brunette guy. It's like when they changed the Bond sort of mold and went from Pierce Brosnan to Daniel Craig. It was kind of a shift. You can't do that for the, like, a timeless Bond character. You can do that, get away. You can't make everyone believe who Luke Skywalker was for 3 critical movies. Then all of a sudden it's a different act. So I agree that they can't do
I
that.
I agree to disagree.
Really?
Yeah. And the reason I agree to disagree is maybe there has to be more time flowing under the bridge. But I'm going to point to mm-hmm. to Jim Kirk.
Jim
Kirk is
your good
example.
Friend. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Jimmy had a great run in the 60s. Right?
Uh-huh.
Bill Shatner had a great run in the 60s as Jim Kirk. And then he had that great run in the 70s and 80s. Not as great a run, I guess, in the movies,
mm-hmm.
which we all enjoyed.
Right.
And lo and behold, like a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
sacrilege. I don't know what that
Say
means.
Say what now?
I hope it wasn't a swear word. But they redo the Star Trek with a new Jim Kirk.
Right.
Some young kid played Jim Kirk.
Who looked like him, though.
Who still wasn't Bill Shatner.
Right.
Is my point.
Okay.
So Lucas Skywalker here.
Mm-hmm.
What's the kid's name? See, what's the guy's name that plays Luke Skywalker?
Mark Hamill. Yeah, it's at the top there.
Why not somebody other
okay,
than Mark
okay, this is where I was going with this. You can't have a realistic time development go on, or it be any... So in other words, from when the last movie left off, Return of the Jedi, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you botched the name of that film earlier today, by the way. But Return of the Jedi to right now, it's been about, what, 35 years, right? Since that movie... Or 30, no, because the first one was... It's been about 30. It's been about 30 years.
30
okay?
years, yeah.
Point is, you can't have the next film be anywhere from that exact point in time to probably 40, 45 years after and not cast him as Luke Skywalker. If you do an 80 years in the future thing, then sure, you can do it. It's just like having Obi-Wan Kenobi being played by a young Ewan McGregor,
Sure.
Compared to, you know, Al Guinness, right? Yeah. So you can do that because there's a different aging process.
Yes and no. Yes and no. If the character in the movie that you know and love was old, you can do a new movie with a new actor that's playing him young.
Because you've never seen them young.
Right.
You don't, yes.
But, you know, like I said, Jim Kirk, you know, we know and love Shatner as Jim Kirk young. And these guys tried a new Jim Kirk young.
But it was younger. You're predating, though, which is okay, I think. You're safer doing that than you are post-dating.
Okay. All right.
It's like writing checks.
No,
you know?
I understand.
Okay.
I understand. Anyway, I'm excited.
Yeah,
listen,
yeah,
I want
too.
All three of them to be in.
I'm going to tell you this 100% right now in
100%,
my mind. Yeah. Mark Hamill will 100% be in it. Carrie Fisher will 100% be in it because the two of them have done cameos in like Scream movies and Jay and Silent Bob movies. They might need the money. Yeah, probably. I don't know. Harrison Ford doesn't need the money, but he's already agreed, I believe, to actually have his own standalone fill-in-the-gap film between 7 and 8. There's like a Han Solo movie. I think you talked about this on your show a couple weeks ago.
That's right, yeah.
Maybe you should recall some of these facts as you had spoken them.
But you think he'll be in?
I think so. He'll definitely make the cameo to pump his sort of reach for the upcoming film.
So I
would, on my reputation, which isn't much,
right?
But on it,
I'll say,
I would 95% say they will all be at least cameoing. They might not be a big character, but they'll probably walk by on the star deck somewhere.
Right. They'll be like a librarian, like Stan Lee was in Avengers.
Yeah.
Or Spider-Man. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What if Carrie Fisher or Carrie Fisher or just Mark Hamill or Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill agree and Harrison Ford doesn't agree? Do you write the other two in, or does it look conspicuous that one is missing?
No, you
is
write
it all
in.
For one or one
you
for
write
all?
Them in because all the nostalgic fans will probably think it's really cool to see the cameo.
At least
especially
one of
if it's
them.
Just
if
the
it's
cameo.
Only if it's one of them.
It's just like, you know, one of the greatest things that was like the hurrah factor was in X-Men First Class when you actually eventually, you know, they're going out and seeing all the mutants because they can finally track them. And then you're thinking in your mind, like, they're going to do it. They're going to do it.
Yeah.
And then they do cameo Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Right.
And it's the funniest one of them because he's the one who said, you know, F off or whatever he said. And that's it, right? And you know what? You are so satisfied by that minimal input.
I got it.
The guys who are huge, hardcore, old school Star Wars fans will like seeing something similar to that, you know?
Okay. All right.
I'm just saying.
All right, fair enough. Okay, let's take a small little musical interlude.
Do we have, like, sponsors ever in this show?
Yeah, they were going to do sponsors for the next segment of the show, and you can read that.
Oh, okay.
Do you have the sponsor list in front of you?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, then go ahead.
I thought we were doing a music you'll...
I just did.
Oh, that was it?
That was it.
Should I have been quiet for that? Like, I need our listening audience.
That's okay.
They pay good radio dollars to hear you and your hummingbird voice.
Yes. Listen, just read the... What do you call it?
Yeah, okay. So what are we going on to? What is this? Industry news?
Yeah, industry news.
Okay, so industry news is brought to you by plays about old horror movies, because without them, you'd probably have no idea that they existed. Ain't that the truth?
Ain't that the truth?
I mean, no, that's a farce.
Hey, listen. So, Fantastic Four, as you know. Have you seen any of the Fantastic Four movies?
I've seen pretty much every comic book movie that's come out and probably since Spider-Man, when that whole genre so 12 years, everything, probably.
Right on. So, as you know, who's the guy? It's Fox? Fox Studios.
Mm-hmm.
They've done okay with FF. I think Marvel is almost begging that they drop it. So Disney can lapse back so they can get Galactus,
like the
Surfer, and all
whatever,
that stuff.
They can.
But Fox being Fox, they're like a fox.
They're
sly like a fox.
Well, they're a big corporation.
And they're not giving up on the FF. So this new FF movie that it's in the works for a release in 2015, it's got to work. It's almost like they're going to have to write it off.
Rebooting is the thing right now.
Yeah.
You know, Spider-Man rebooted. Everything went a little bit darker, a little bit even like more rough. It wasn't just, you know, popcorn sort of blockbuster movie, right? It wasn't just sit back and watch some action.
Yeah.
So I feel they'll probably trend towards doing the same thing. And yeah.
Well, Matthew Vaughn, I don't know if you know this guy. He directed Kick-Ass and X-Men First Class, which you talked about with Hugh Jackman.
Right, which was a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which everybody said was a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
So he signed on to produce on this guy named Josh Trank to direct a Fantastic Four reboot for 20th Century Fox.
Right.
So this is good, I guess, because you have some proven names.
Mm-hmm.
This is 20th Century Fox saying, hey, we got to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we don't want FF to go back to Disney. There's no way FF is going back to Disney. Mm-hmm. Let's get this Matt Vaughn guy, because he seems to know what he's doing.
Yep.
Let's give him a lot of money and let's have him make FF work.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, comic book, superhero properties, they will make you money if they're done well, and they realize that, so they will not be giving it up ever. If they can keep it to themselves legally, they will do that.
Now, does it matter? Does it matter? Is it good that Spider-Man is with Sony, that FF is with Fox, and that is it good that Disney doesn't have them all? Is it good to have fresh takes, so it's not some sort of massive corporate structure, their intake on all of them?
No.
Is it good or is it bad?
I think that there are good and bad, but I think as a whole, if you were to look at it, no. If you were to summarize, because the ability to collaborate without one company having to pay to borrow characters from the other, to actually have crossovers, to have that potential chance of doing something cool like that, having a couple superheroes crossover, even if, like I said, they're cameo appearances and they're just really cool and witty, right? What if someone else owned Wolverine, and then some guy did X-Men First Class with everyone, right? And then you have to go through the legal fiasco. Maybe it's not worth it, so they don't include it, right?
Right.
And I said it's that nice little thumbs up that you take away from the movie and say it's great for doing that. Same sort of thing. It'd be good for someone to own them all outright so that they could just, intermix them as they feel the desire to do. But at the same time, I do agree if it's the case where they have one writer who's writing every single comic book movie because he's got a take, right? Then they may become a little similar in style.
No, I understand what you're saying. Just keep the variety.
Keep the individuality of each
keep the variety in
property.
The creative teams that are working on each project, but keep them in-house in terms of giving them flexibility on things. And you know what? You hit on something really important, Marty, because one of the main reasons what Marvel did so much better, I think, than DC did in those formative years of Marvel in the 60s and 70s when they asserted themselves as the top dog and they took it over from DC was the magic of their crossovers, was the magic of the way they did their crossovers,
absolutely.
The way Hulk came into the Spidey title and all that kind of stuff. They did that so much better than DC.
You learn to love all these characters in their own titles. And then it's just such a bonus to actually, say you're a big Hulk fan, but that you're also a Spidey fan, and then you went and picked up the new Spidey, and then you saw that little glimpse of him, kind of coming in, wreaking havoc for a minute, but then actually being a little bit of a good guy. Spidey's confused. Like, having that interaction is kind of a good thing. Having one coherent universe, I mean, it's good for fans of every property, to get involved.
Excellent. All right. Marty, let's move it along. This kind of, I guess, would have been in our trailer trash segment, but since we don't have a trailer trash segment, trailer trash is brought to you by Captain Canuck Coffee Mugs, coming soon to find comic shops near you.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So I can drink my coffee out of a mug with a nice chiseled mug on it.
That's right.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Drinking coffee from a mug with a mug on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
I like it.
The Mandarin, who's played by, what's the guy's name?
The Buffet?
No, not the Buffet.
Oh.
No, the Mandarin is the villain in Iron Man.
Is this what you feel like when you say something silly and then
you
2 seconds
now
later
I
you regret
know,
it?
Now I know what Chris feels like right now. I'm telling you. It's not fun, I'm telling you. Chris, I have a new respect for you, my friend. So the Mandarin, played by Ben Kingsley, is on this new poster about Iron Man 3, and it looks pretty cool. And I think the Mandarin is going to be a great villain. I didn't like Whiplash.
No?
As that villain. I didn't like
him. I like who played him.
I like Mickey Rourke.
I like how he played him, but yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a good way to introduce the actual competitive sort of foes of the bots and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also a good way to get Don Cheadle's character to kind of introduce the War Machine properly. Like, he kind of went off and had to.
Yeah.
I feel like it was a good, you know, if you knew that you were making a trilogy, you know, like if it was like the Back to the Future movies, and you knew you had to have certain things lead up to the third film, and you had to plug them somewhere, you kind of sacrifice a little bit of that second movie just to plug a couple things.
Right.
I feel like it's kind of like that, right?
So, Well, I don't like the Mandarin. When I read the old, when I was a kid, I read Iron Man comics. I thought Mandarin was a cool villain. I'm just wondering, because Iron Man, out of all the kind of movie franchises, Iron Man is the one that's staying away from superhero type stuff. Iron Man is almost, you know, with a tweak of Iron Man, with a tweak of Iron Man, you can send him towards James Bond country. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's a very, like, he's right on the cusp there. And I'm wondering with, like, the Mandarin, how are they going to play this Mandarin guy? Are they going to play this Mandarin guy as this crazy, you know, Oriental guy that wants to take over the world, like a Bond type thing? Or are they going to play for him as a supervillain and go more comic-y? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm interested to see how they treat the Mandarin as a villain. Comic book villain or James Bond villain?
From, you know what? I'm going to say from the minimal information I have, which is pretty much this poster image, I'm actually going to go for a Bond villain. This looks like a cover for a GQ like magazine thing that we've got going on here.
Right.
All he needs is, you know, like a cigar and a glass of scotch.
Yeah, aficionado.
That'd oh, yeah, exactly. Cover the for aficionado. Oh, yeah, he read my mind, absolutely. Yeah. But that's exactly what I kind of read. I feel like he's much more suave, laid back, and it's like it's more of a mental game than it is like a homicidal maniac sort of game.
Right. Well,
that's my feeling.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. I mean, it looks like it's a cool poster. Mm-hmm. Now, don't forget, Iron Man 3 is releasing May 3rd.
Yes.
Yeah, Friday, May 3rd. And what I love about Marvel, what I've always loved about Marvel.
I know what you're going to say.
From the local comic. Listen. Yep.
That's why I know what you're going to say.
From the local comic book shop perspective, these big superhero movies released the first weekend of May correspond with Free Comic Book Day.
Yep, I knew you were going to say that.
Yes. Now, this movie releases Friday, May 3rd. Free Comic Book Day is Saturday, May 4th. And we encourage local comic book stores to contact your local movie house and tell them, hey, I'm a flipping comic book shop. I know this stuff.
Yeah.
I know it inside out. And I'd love to display in your lobby.
Hold on. So when you contact them, you say, I know this stuff. I know everything about what you just said there, that's you calling and saying you know things?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I said,
so
hey,
you deceived
listen.
More people than you let on.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, listen, what does he know or she know?
Yeah. Well,
they don't know.
No, they don't.
Oh, that guy from the comic shop.
He must know.
He must know.
Yeah.
Right. So you play on that. Yeah. You got to take every advantage you can take.
Everyone.
And so you head down there and you set up in the lobby with a little table and you, you know, you just interact with as many people coming through the door to enjoy that movie, but not just that movie, all the other movies at those Cineplex things.
Right, absolutely.
And just, you know, tell them about your business, tell them about how cool it is that, you know, Iron Man's a great movie, but, you know, the comic books and the graphic novels are even better than the movie, you know what I mean, and that kind of stuff. And it's a great place, and then it brings them in. You hand out your Free Comic Book Day flyers. They all come in the day after. They all enjoy Free Comic Book Day. And I guess my point is that I love Marvel releasing that early May blockbuster.
Because it really helps the entire weekend.
Yeah, it really helps Free Comic Book Day. It really helps the local comic book shops. So kudos to Marvel
for
that.
Perfect, yeah.
Excellent. All right, Marty, what else are we going to talk about? Do we have time? Do we have time?
I think we've got in the under 10-minute ballpark here.
So should we do the previews?
I suppose we could.
Yeah, I guess suppose we could, and then we'll see if we have left. So the new previews is out, and what we like to do when the previews comes out, the previews, by the way, are the catalog. Would you call it a catalog? I guess that's what it is, right?
Yeah, previews catalog.
The order book, yeah, that comes to your local comic book shop every month. So this one is the March catalog, since the end of this week is March.
Yeah,
and that's for stuff shipping in May. To your local comic book shop.
Right.
So you grab it and you look through it and you go, oh, I got to have this. Right. And you go to your people at your comic shop and say, can you order me this? Can I have like six?
Yeah.
And they'll look at your cross and goes, only if you pay in advance.
Right.
Right. And then, you know.
And then you go to your credit card company and say, oh, could I get my maximum level raised?
Can I get my maximum? Yeah. I really need a Star Trek captain's chair. And it's only $4,400.
I feel work productivity to pay this off will increase if I have this.
That's right.
Yeah.
So anyway, we like to go once a month through the book and perhaps pick out stuff that you should notice and hopefully order from your local comic shop.
Right. And we've noticed.
And we have noticed. And I've gone to page 462 of this the March previews catalog and found Zombie Limbs Candy.
Oh, boy. Tell me what that entails.
Well, satisfy your hunger pains the way zombies do by eating people's arms and legs. So basically, it's little packets with little candy inside in the shape of arms. I hope it's just arms and legs.
Uh-huh.
Maybe heads. Well. You know, that's about
maybe
it.
Maybe that's as far as you'll go.
That's as far as I'll go. When you eat your zombies, what do you eat the last?
What about like toe jam? Like zombie toe jam or something? No, they wouldn't. You wouldn't dabble into that?
Not at all. Anyway, listen, if I was a local comic shop, I would definitely take prepay on this stuff.
Don't order it on a whim.
Don't order it on a whim. Now, Marty, what did you pick?
Oh, I picked something much more, well, let's say, assuredly sellable, okay? I went with, because tumblers are all the craze, you know, as I've noticed at your fine store and whatnot. So I looked at page 463 at the top left corner. You see a whole bunch of tumblers, and they are the Archie tumblers, right? And so there's three to choose from. Or actually, well, one's Josie and the Pussycats. So the other two are Betty and Veronica.
Right.
You know? And so immediately I thought, what better way to enjoy, you know, a fine beer or other mixable alcoholic beverage than with
a teenager.
A teenager. Well,
I know what you're thinking.
That might be the only legal way to actually enjoy a beer with a 16-year-old high school girl. Okay.
Well, I won't even get into why you picked that, Marty. But
it just caught the eye. I don't know what it was. Yeah,
I can see that. Wow. So, hey, go into your local comic shop. Check out the previews catalog. For March 2013. Mm-hmm. Now, Marty, we only got a couple more minutes.
Yes.
So catch me up real quickly. Catch the listeners up real quickly on where you guys stand on your Night of the Living Dead live production.
Okay. Everything's going pretty much. It's all ramping up right now. Since the beginning of February, everything is kind of expedited in speed to get to the April 26th show opening date, which is at Theater Passmarai, kind of at the Bathurst and Queen West intersection there.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've actually been doing just lately, we relaunched the entire website, completely overhauled it.
What's it called?
NightOfTheLivingDeadLive.com.
Fair enough.
Right? And so when you go there, you see a whole bunch of background graphic art images, which painstakingly were done by a graphic artist, also a co-producer, co-creator, Phil Pattison.
Mm-hmm.
He did a great job on just making it a really presentable website. And so now we actually have a merchandise section that was launched with that. So you can get your t-shirts. And
listen, I noticed, I saw your order through to the company that you're getting some shot glasses.
We're getting some shot glasses.
That's pretty cool.
We're getting some coffee mugs. Yep. Yeah. We're getting some keychains.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And then
too.
We also have, through a different, like a t-shirt company, we've got three different graphic arts. One of them is a big glow-in-the-dark, you know, main logo,
Night of the Living Dead thing, which
is really cool.
There's some good swag coming out.
There is. And you know what? We'll keep adding to it as we see fit. But right now, that's the preliminary stuff. We're also going to have a big batch of posters, like live, you know, or full-size, you know, sort of movie poster size,
right.
Some lobby cards. Which
now, can
are
I ask,
between.
Can I ask, I know you've had the online opened and people can communicate with you already about the show. You got tickets available and
stuff.
Oh,
yeah, tickets have been on sale for a little while.
How is that going?
Oh, it's going really well. People, we have a George Romero Q&A session after two of our shows, the second weekend, so May 3rd, 4th, the Friday, Saturday, after the 7 p.m. shows, an hour-long Q&A with George Romero, you know, zombie master himself.
George Romero will be there.
And so it's huge.
Yeah.
And so we're publicizing that, and those are the biggest sold-out shows already. So people really want to meet this guy.
Well, I noticed, too, that you guys on Fangoria's website, you got a nice banner.
We got a big banner thing that links us right to our ticket sales. We are doing some advertising now with some magazine companies. as well with that, like I said, ticket sales have been linked on our website since they kind of went on sale a little while ago. You can always grab those whenever you want.
Wow. All right. Well, that's a great update. Listen, I know we'll be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
We wish you the best with it. And I think, Marty, I think we might be close. Are we close? Oh, are we getting the signal?
Signal.
All right, listen.
Ooh, some rude gestures he sends you. I didn't know he's that vulgar.
I think we're at our limit there, so take
all
it
right.
away.
Well, in the wise words of one Chris Owen, well, that is all the time we have for today.
Wow. All right, well done. Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone, engineered by Andrew Robach. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link, scroll to the comments field, and add your comics. And also check us out at getthepointradio.com.
And remember, only you can change the future. So when Chris comes back next week, be sure to send him hate mail demanding Marty is the new Comic Culture host.
Fair enough. Marty, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Walt.
All right. And go out and support your local comic book store.